All right, so I'm going to change the format up a little bit. I'm going to start in introducing the topics of these episodes before I play the intro music, and that way I can give you a preview of what's coming. So today's topic is how to write episode titles that attract new listeners. So why is this important? The title of your episode is important because it is what is going to convince brand new listeners to check out your show. Word of mouth recommendations are another way to get new listeners, but if someone hears about your podcast from a friend, they're still going to look at the titles of your episodes, which will help them decide if it's a show they'd be interested in. So your title is a chance to convince someone who's never heard of you to listen to your episode with a single sentence. And here's the scary truth. No one really cares about your podcast. They only care about what your podcast does for them. So what will your podcast do for your listener? This is one of the questions your title should answer. So in today's episode, I'm talking about what makes a good title, what makes a less than ideal title, and I'm going to share some tips to help you write better titles. And after the show, I'm going to answer any questions that I get from the community about titles, and also a couple great questions about how to get into editing podcasts and finding work as a podcast editor, and then also where to find resources for branding and logo design for your podcast. So I'm ready. You guys ready? My name is Aaron Dowd. Welcome to the podcast, dude. All right, welcome to the 14th episode of the podcast, dude. Thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it. So I told you before the show, we're talking about titles today. I was talking with Sean yesterday, and I sent him a couple ideas that I had for titles for this episode. And he asked me three questions in response. One, why does it matter? Two, what does writing a better title do for me? And then three, why does the right title for my podcast matter? So I told him that I thought writing better titles would bring new listeners to the podcast by catching their attention, and then also through search engine results. I told him that I thought a good title would help the content stand out in an overwhelming stream of content that people see every day. And in response to that, he just wrote, "How to write episode titles that attract new listeners." Of course, that's what I ended up using for the title of this episode. Man, I love Sean. He's so good at writing titles. So I also asked him if he had any tips that he wanted to share about writing good titles with my listeners. And he responded again with three things. And two of these things are questions that your title should answer for your listener or reader if you're writing a blog. I think this applies to that too. One, what's in it for me? Two, tell me why I should care about this. And the third is what I think Sean is looking for in a title as a consumer of content. Speak to the desires I already have, but deliver what I need to know. I've actually been thinking about that, reading that sentence and thinking about that sentence a lot since you sent it to me. Speak to the desires I already have, but deliver what I need to know. In a single title, that's a tall order. Something I'm going to aspire to. So I want to talk about what makes a less than ideal title. And I started, this headline was originally going to be what makes a bad title. But I think it's, you know, depending on how you define bad. I don't think most titles are bad per se. Most of them just aren't as good as they could be. But anyways, semantics. So a less than ideal title doesn't give any idea about what the show is about. It's also, if your title is too link-baity, you guys know what I'm talking about here. Reach new listeners with this one weird trick. This might work on people who are just casually browsing around, but I'd argue that titles like that, that are pure clickbait, are going to turn people, they're going to turn off the smart people in your audience. So I would avoid using them. Another example of something that is less than ideal is something that's maybe too generic or already matches something that's already really popular in society. So, example, if you call your podcast episode Top Gun, I doubt that your episode is ever going to show up in search engine results. Also, something that your audience will not be interested, not a good idea for a title. So if you have a show about web design and you have a title like How to Effectively Clean Your Garage on the Weekends, most of your audience is probably going to skip that episode. So I want to give you guys some examples of less than ideal titles. Now, I have to start off by saying that the first few that I have on the list are from a show that I actually really, really like, Systematic. It's a podcast kind of about being curious and productivity and geek stuff. It's run by a guy I consider a good friend, and he's an awesome human being, Brett Terpstra. But some of his titles sometimes, they're less than ideal. So Systematic, episode 135, the title is Top of the Roller Coaster with Kelly Gumont. I actually don't know how to pronounce her last name. I apologize, Kelly, if you're listening to this. But Top of the Roller Coaster with Kelly, what does that mean? That doesn't tell me anything about what the show is about. Another example, and I'm going to offset all this with examples of good. He's got some good titles, but right now I'm just talking about less than ideal. But Systematic 131, One-Way Ticket with Evan Lovely. Yeah, it doesn't tell me anything. Why should I listen to that? Another example of another show that doesn't do titles very well, all the recent Back to Work titles. Now, I know, I'm actually a huge fan of the Back to Work podcast. There's a lot of great content. Sometimes they get a little off track. I forgive them for that because it's been such a valuable resource. Both Dan Benjamin and Merle Mann, who are the hosts of that show, they have really great things to say about a lot of different topics. And there's almost always some gold nuggets in each episode. But the titles do nothing to explain to new listeners what the shows are about. They're all inside jokes for the people who are already listening to the show. Now, this probably helps create a deeper connection with those who are listening live and voting for these titles. They have a chat system. You can grab something that one of the hosts says and add up like a bang T to it, and it puts it in this database of titles, possible titles, which people can go rate later. So that's a cool thing to do for the listeners of the show, but this doesn't help them at all with SEO or getting new listeners. I think Dan and Merlin can get away with this because they both already have large followings. But if you don't have a large following, using inside jokes or funny things that you say in an episode as the title will keep you from getting new listeners. So just be careful about that. Another show that I really like is the Mac Power Users podcast. Fantastic, fantastic podcast. Learned a lot of great things about my Macintosh and some like tips and tricks. It's a great show, very popular show. But episode 247 is titled The Onslaught Revisited. I don't really know what that means. Listeners of the show, they might know what this means if they listen to there was a previous episode, I believe, called The Onslaught. But I bet if you're new to the show, you have no idea what that means. If you read the description, you'll see that they're talking about RSS readers and the overwhelming amount of content that we have coming at us all the time. But the title doesn't give you an idea about what the show is about. So if I can talk about myself for a minute, got to put myself in the hot seat. My last week's episode, the Podcast Dude 13, How to Choose the Right Format for Your Podcast. I don't think that's a great title. It's too late to change it now, but How to Choose the Right Format for Your Podcast is not a great title. I imagine if I'm thinking about it from Sean's or a listener's perspective, they're going, yeah, but why is this important and what kind of format are you talking about? So I'm going to work on this. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm still learning, but you know, I could do better. I'm going to try to do better in the future. So let's talk about what makes a good title. During the research this past week, I did a lot of research about this. Wow. Over the past week, I did a lot of research about this. I'm the editor. I can fix when I say silly things like that. And I saw a lot of really, really great writing. I read a lot of articles, watched a few videos. So one of the big things first is attention grabbing. Now, I asked some of you in the chat for some examples of attention-grabbing headlines. And I got a couple of great responses, so I wanted to give some shout-outs. The legendary Lord Garrett Mickley, who's a game designer, he gave a great example from a show that I've only really seen a few episodes of, Parks and Recreation. But I went and watched a YouTube video clip, which I'm including in the show notes. It's a scene where, for whatever reason, I don't know the name of the characters, but they're writing a title for something or recording a title for something, and they go, Bobby Newport's never had a real job in his life. Garrett says, sensationalism sells. That's totally right. Kyle Arbuckle said, as giving an example for a title, this guy invented a solution to a problem that has been around for over 100 years. That's interesting, right? What's the problem? What's the solution? Makes you a little bit curious. So good titles should be memorable. They should be informative. So it should give your reader an idea of what the episode is about. And it should be easy to say, or also not embarrassing or problematic for someone to say aloud to their friends. That's important. If people are talking to each other and they, you know, if you include curse words in your titles, some people are not going to share that. Just something to be aware of. Also, you need to ask yourself, would someone type this into Google? What is the most important or interesting thing about this episode? That can help give you an idea of what your title might be. You should also keep in mind this question. What is your audience interested in? Now, what you decide to title a podcast can actually, podcast or blog post really, can actually really help shape the overall thing itself, the overall podcast or the overall writing. And I don't know. I don't know if you should start with a great title or write a blog post and then come up with a great title. In some cases, you could write a bunch of a blog post, realize that you have a really great title for it, and then go back and rewrite stuff, restructure it. It's okay. There's no rules about this kind of stuff. Another thing, if you're going to be doing interview shows, keep this in mind. You should put a takeaway in the title and not just the name of the person you interviewed. Although if the person you've interviewed is famous enough, you might not have to do much more than put their name in the episode title. But if you can augment their name with a takeaway from the episode, that's even better. Title case. Title case is important, actually. This is when you're writing the name of a title, writing a name or a title, it is common convention to only use capital letters to start the principal words. And this is called title case. And I grabbed this information from an article, which I'm going to link to in the show notes. But the principal words in a title are all the words which are not articles. So a, n, an. It's hard to say n by itself. Or the. Conjunctions. And, but, or. Or prepositions. On, in, with. So title case is a little bit tricky. If you've never written title case before, if you're not aware of it, go read the article in the show notes. It'll take a little bit of time, but it's not too crazy. All right, so let's talk about, I'm going to give you some examples of good titles, really good titles. Sean West 189, Finding Your Passion. This is a great title because a lot of people struggle with this. We've all struggled with this, and Sean's audience especially, because his big thing is helping people make a living with their passion. So if someone sees that on his Twitter bio and they go visit his site and they see this podcast title, that's great. That gives them an idea of what the show is going to be about. It's going to be about helping them find their passion. Sean West 186, How to Self-Promote Without Feeling Like a Loser. And if you've ever created something and then tried to promote it to strangers, you're probably worried about annoying them. I know, I've been there. This title promises to teach you how to promote your thing without feeling like a loser, which I know is something that a lot of people would like to know how to do. Another great title from Sean, episode 162, They're Going to Put You in a Box. Now, this title has a little bit of suspense to it. They're going to put me in a box? What does that mean? It makes you curious. Systematic 126, I'm failing. Going to take a sip of coffee and try that again here in a second. How are you guys doing? Good coffee. Good coffee. Okay. Systematic 126. Procrastinate on purpose with Rory Vaden. Since Systematic is a show for people kind of interested in working and productivity, that's a great title because a lot of people, especially I think people that do work as freelancers or at home by themselves, they struggle with procrastination because you have so many options for things to do when you run your own business. I've been there. So that's a great title. Procrastinate on purpose. Interesting. Another good title from the Mac Power Users, episode 264, Workflows with John Gruber. So this is a combination of having a famous person in your title. John Gruber, for those of you who don't know, runs a great blog about Apple called Daring Fireball. Huge, huge internet celebrity. So it combines a famous person in the title and then something that the Mac Power Users, the hosts, something that they know their audience is interested in, which is workflows. So there's a lot of workflows shows on Mac Power Users where they just interview people and they talk about their workflows. It's, you know, that's a pretty popular thing, especially among geeks. They like knowing how other people get their work done and solve their problems. A couple other great titles from Mac Power Users. Episode 224, The Email Problem. Episode 210, Task Management. That's kind of simple, but it works. Task management. Because a lot of geeks struggle with managing tasks. Nothing crazy. But if you've at all ever struggled with your to-do list, you're going to click on that episode. You're going to listen to it. I'm going to talk about my own show again for a second. Episode number 3 of the podcast, dude, is titled Introduction to Recording Audio. And according to iTunes, this is my most popular episode. Now, I have never looked at download numbers for my podcast. But if you go to iTunes, you can see like the popularity rating. And this one is off the charts, whereas all the other ones are pretty much zero. And, you know, I know people listen to the show, but still. My guess is that this is because a lot of people Google introduction to recording audio. In fact, I Googled that, but I changed it to introduction to recording audio for podcasts, and I was on the first page. I was like the second result. Then, you know, that's because I have podcast in the title of my show. You know, my show is The Podcast Dude. So it's interesting, you know, introduction to recording audio. That sounds kind of boring to me. You know, it's fine. It's a necessary thing if you're wanting to get into recording a podcast. But that doesn't strike me as interesting. But I think it goes to show that even a simple, you know, normal, what a lot of people would consider boring title can actually be really effective for getting new traffic from Google. There's a blog that I really like the way this guy writes. So the blog is called Without BS. Except it's not BS, it's the other thing that I'm not going to say on this podcast, because this is a clean podcast. The title of a blog post, Please Stop French Kissing Your Site Visitors. And I cannot read that without laughing, because it's funny. But the article is about website marketing and the pop-ups that many sites use. I don't like pop-ups personally, and neither does the author. Apparently, because he wrote an article about it, which he titled, Please Stop French Kissing Your Site Visitors. It's a funny article. I'll include a link in the show notes. But the author of this blog, his name is Josh Burnoff. He's a really good writer. And thank you, Devin, shared a link in the chat. I suggest checking out his site, but especially his article titled, How to Start a Blog Post, Can You Intrigue Me in 50 Words? And I will drop that link into the chat right now. It's going in the show notes because this is good. It's an excellent article that you should go read. And in it, he starts off by saying, in my view, the title and first few sentences of a blog post should, and then he's got a list. First, intrigue the reader. Promise what's coming accurately. Incorporate a clever or counterintuitive turn of phrase. Be natural and inviting. And avoid clickbait. Now, clickbait means attracting clicks with false promises. And finally, use a few keywords that will attract searches. So, a few more tips for creating better titles. Google your ideas. If you got an idea for something, a title or a blog post, Google it and see what else is out there. Just do a little skimming, do a little bit of reading. You might find some good information that you can include, but it also give you an idea about other things that might be related, other titles that might be related to that. And ask yourself if your audience would search for your title on Google. And when you're writing titles for your podcast or for your blog post, ask yourself, would I click on this? Something I did yesterday as well. Brainstorm 10 to 15 titles. They don't all have to be good. You're just getting in the practice of coming up with a bunch of different varieties or ideas for your title. And this gives your creative muscle a workout. And you can go back and eliminate all the terrible ones when you're done, but you'll probably be left with two or three that are pretty decent. I actually did this for this episode on a walk yesterday. And I came up with 15. I'm not going to read you all of them because some of them are pretty terrible. But I'll read you the worst ones because that's good. Number five that I came up with. Are good titles important? Do they catch your reader's attention? Just did. That's terrible. But I see those, you know, those billboards on the side of the highway that always say that. Does advertising work? Awful. Number eight was titillating titles. It's pretty terrible too. Number nine was seven reasons your title shouldn't be link baity. Number 10, get new listeners with this one weird trick. These just keep getting worse. I think number 2 and number 15 were actually the decent ones that I really liked. Number 2 was coming up with titles for your podcast. Number 4, how to write great podcast titles. That was pretty good. Number 15 was how to write better titles for your podcast episodes. Interesting that number 15 was actually, I went through a bunch of crappy ones, a bunch of terrible ones. And I was just having fun with it. You know, I wasn't like I might actually use these. I just kind of wanted to explore and get a little bit creative and crazy. I liked what Terrence Tang said. He came up with a possible title for me. He said, 10 ways to improve your podcast titles. Number 5 will blow your mind. I need to get the soundboard going on here. I wonder if Sean would be angry if I used some of his sound bites on my show. I mean, I could do my own, but it's not as much fun. I like Ben's sound bites, Sean and Ben. Anyways. Okay. Finally, ask a trusted friend for feedback. And I'm lucky to have a good friend like Sean to ask about podcast titles. But I've got a lot of other friends in the Sean West community that are willing to give me feedback and help me brainstorm. And this is one of the reasons I love and recommend the community so much. All right, guys, that's going to do it for my monologue section of the podcast today. Stick around in the after show. I'll be answering some questions. But I want to say thanks for listening. I hope this was helpful. If you have any questions, feedback, or if you just want to say hi, you can email me at Aaron@thepodcastdude.com. Always love hearing from you guys. Got some great feedback this past week, some good questions, so I really appreciate you. I want to say join the community. I say this every week, but it's really, really important. You guys don't know what you're missing. It's full of awesome, helpful people who write titles all day long. They don't, but we do talk about titles a lot. It supports all the shows on the Sean West Network, which if you haven't checked out, seanwest.com/network. Great, great podcast there. All of them, super high quality, good stuff. I hang out in the chat app all day in the community. So if you want to hang out and talk with me, ask me questions about podcasting, that's a great way to do it. Also, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram now. I set up accounts after a long, long break. You can find me at The Podcast Dude. And I want to read a review real quick from someone who is nice enough to leave me a review on iTunes. Okay, so this is a review from Brooks. Oh, I'm going to butcher his last name. Eggleston? I feel like that's right, but I always get it wrong. Brooks, where are you at, man? He's not in the chat today. famous. He doesn't even care. I should read someone else's reviews. No, I'm just kidding. Brooks left me a great review. He said, essential show for learning to podcast. This is a fantastic resource for anyone looking to begin a podcast. Advice ranges from technical means for getting a high-quality show, like equipment and settings, to theoretical means of delivering the best show you can to an audience. Highly recommended show. Aaron does a great job of delivering nonstop value. Looking forward to future episodes. Brooks, thanks a bunch, dude. You've been killing it lately with your learn character design stuff. Exciting to see someone producing so much great content. Yes. This is a fun episode for me. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Got some really, really good questions in the after show. Gonna see if I can nail this outro right here. I always think it's coming too soon. Hang on. Talk to you guys soon. Let's get into some questions and answers. Oh, also, I wanted to mention that last week, a community member, John Voth, he mentioned that he felt like he wasn't getting to know me enough as a person, said that I was providing a lot of value, but that everything was very tutorial-like. And that's fine. That's what I'm going for, right? Like, I want to provide value to you guys. But I also realize that some of you might be a little bit more curious to get to know me as a person and, you know, what kind of things do I like? All that kind of stuff. So I just want to put this out there. If you guys have questions that you'd like me to answer on the show that are not related just to podcasting or audio, feel free to ask them. I'm not going to promise that I'll answer all of them, but if it's, you know, sort of interesting, I'd like to give you guys a chance to get to know me a little bit better as a person. With that being said, to get into questions, Noah Camp asked, how should you title a subject that seems to have been covered 1,000 times before? Now, I think if you can put, I think I should stop saying I think. Let me start this over. If you can put a unique spin on it, that's great. But keep in mind that someone is born every day who hasn't heard Merlin Mann make the Flintstones joke. What I mean is that just because you're familiar with a topic doesn't mean that other people are. And it might be better to do a pretty straightforward title that really communicates what your blog post or your episode is about, rather than to try to do something crazy that doesn't really work. So you don't always, like, I'm going to read the stuff I said earlier, because what Josh Burnoff said was really, really good. This short list, I could have just read these, 6 things out and then just turn the podcast off. Podcast is done. Not really, but you know what I'm saying. So I'm going to read that list that he said again. The title and first few sentences of a blog post should intrigue the reader, promise what's coming accurately, incorporate a clever or counterintuitive turn of phrase, be natural and inviting, avoid clickbait, and use a few keywords that will attract searches. So that list is going to be, you know what? I'm going to put that list in the show notes, of course, but I'm also going to like copy and paste that into every episode when I prepare for the show. When I'm trying to write a title, I'm going to look at that list and ask myself, does it meet at least, you know, maybe half of the criteria here? If I can get half, that's great. If I could get all 6, that would be awesome. But that's a good starting point. That's a good idea. And yeah, like I said, the joke about Merlin Mann and the Flintstones, it's the original joke is that someone's born every day who's never seen the Flintstones. There are tons and tons of people out there who are going to come across your content and maybe the first time that they've ever heard about you or heard about the topic that you're talking about. So don't stress so much about you know, has somebody else said this already? You have a unique outlook on whatever it is that you're writing or talking about, because you've had a combination of experiences that no one else has. It's more important to, yeah, like, spend some time and focus on making the title as good as you can, but just keep writing, keep putting stuff out there. Don't let getting the perfect title keep you from actually producing anything. That's the opposite of what I want you to take away from this. Okay, got a great question from Zach Sims. Shout out, man. Zach sent me some really great feedback and some encouraging words this past week. So, Zach, I really, really appreciate you, man. But the question he asked me was, I am a freshman in college and I'm planning to major in a field of business, right now finance. If I'm interested in doing freelance work as an audio editor, how would you suggest I go about learning enough to be hireable? At the moment, I have plans to eventually start my own company or move out east and work for a bank. But the more I learn about podcasts, the more I'm interested in them and the more I want to learn. During college, I wouldn't mind possibly doing some work on the side as an audio editor. So that's how this question came up. And he had another question. How does the pay look for the average podcaster and audio editor? I want to live a dapper lifestyle making $250K a year or more. And that's why I'm swayed towards the finance and asset management industry. I'm just curious how much podcasters and audio editors make. So, Zach, first off, congratulations on going to college and having big dreams. I think that's really, really awesome. Not too many people have the guts to tell people that they want to make more than 250 grand a year. That's a big number. It's great that you're aspiring. Garrett asked me in the chat, he asked, Aaron, do you make 250K a year? I'll answer that in a minute. But okay, so Zach, congratulations on going to college, having big dreams, man. That's great. Now, if you're interested in learning podcast editing, get some professional software, learn it, and then study post-production. So that's going to be editing, mixing and mastering, EQ, compression, noise removal. Learn how to write good show notes. Learn HTML and Markdown, because those are valuable things to know if you're going to be working for people. Writing show notes, a lot of people are willing to pay money for that. You'll also need to learn business things like how to set up a website and market your skills, how to find and work with clients, and how much you charge, because every client is different in that they have budgets, or you can only provide so much value. And if you're interested in pricing, check out Sean's value-based pricing podcast series. I'll include a link to that in the show notes. Really, really great stuff about pricing your services, your expertise, your work on how much value you can give to someone rather than a flat hourly rate. Really, really interesting stuff. Okay. But really, here's my advice for you. I think you should focus first and most importantly on doing something that you really enjoy. Now, personally, I really enjoy working with people and helping people make things. Money isn't quite as important to me. If you enjoy making money, then do that. I have to say, I don't know anyone that makes $250K a year editing podcasts. I certainly didn't. I was making closer to $50K when I was working for myself. But I Googled salary for audio engineer, and I got results from a few websites that said the average salary for an audio engineer, and this isn't podcast editor, but audio engineer, average salary was between $43,000 and $90,000 a year. And I think a lot of it will depend on your skill level and your location. But some of the other perks besides money, and why I really enjoy my job and why I really enjoy editing podcasts and doing this kind of work, is one, I get to work remotely. So I don't have to go to an office to do my work. I just use Dropbox. People send me files. I do the editing. I do some writing, admin work, whatever. And I'm free to travel. I can set my own hours all the time. I can go where I want when I want, for the most part. I still have deadlines that I have to meet, but it's not the same as working a 9-to-5 office job at a place where maybe there's some people I'm, you know, I don't care that much about being around. Freedom is important to me. So think about what you love doing. And if you don't know what you love doing yet, then you're going to have to try a bunch of things before you figure that out. But also what's important to you. Now, you to make $250K a year, you might have to work or put in 70 hours a week. And if you do, that's not for sure, but I'm guessing you'll have to hustle for a long time to get that kind of get that kind of money, man. But if you spend 70 hours a week working, you're not going to have much time to enjoy that money. You're not going to have time to spend it. And I know because I've done 70 hours a week before. It's like you're working from 7 in the morning until 8 at night, and then all weekends too. And you don't have any energy. You don't have the time to go out because you know that you got to get up at 7 and do it all over again. It's really, really hard to hustle that much. But if making money is important to you, then I don't think you couldn't do any better than finance and banking, honestly, as far as I know. Maybe programming or start your own business. That's a great way to make a lot of money, but that's a great way to get a lot of work. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's hard. All this stuff is hard work, and hard work comes with rewards. But I want to say, here's the takeaway. Took me a long time to get here. Focus on finding work that you love doing. Life is so much better if you can do work that you really enjoy. Now, I don't know how you guys felt about math class in school, but I hated math. Did not like it at all. It was very boring to me, just all the numbers and then moving numbers around and all that stuff. Algebra was... Anyways, I really wanted to be outside exploring or reading books. Reading stories. And to me, the difference between math class being bored and frustrated and kind of angry, or, you know, being outside or reading books and just getting lost in these other worlds, that's the difference between doing work that I love and work that I'm just doing for money. So I hope that helps, man. All right, Oliver asked, do you have any recommendations for podcast art or logo resources? We talked a little bit. He asked this question in the chat. We talked a little bit about this in the chat, but I wanted to talk about it some more. I wanted to rant about it. Okay, I got to start by saying that I'm not a professional designer. I'm not a professional designer, so take everything that I say with a grain of salt. I think it's tempting to focus on just getting a logo made or just getting a website made, one thing at a time, but you really need to think about the overall branding for your show, because there needs to be consistency in fonts and colors that you use in your website or in your logo. Now, I happen to know that Oliver is starting a podcast about healthcare IT, so he needs a design that communicates that to his audience. The design should give his audience visual cues about what his show is about, and colors and fonts will play a big role here. Because think about the design that you see in both the tech world and the healthcare world. It's clean and professional, modern, techy. These are all ideas that can be expressed through certain colors and fonts, that we associate certain colors and fonts with those things, those words. So if he was to get a designer that created something playful or retro, he might confuse his audience. Just like the 80s have a very distinctive look with a bunch of bright neon colors, healthcare and technology also have a distinctive look. So I talked a little bit more about website and design in episode 6 of this podcast. So go check that out. But if you can afford a good designer, I think it's a great investment if you are dedicated to doing your podcast for a while. If this is just something that you're trying out to kind of see if you like it, or if you don't have much of a budget, if you just want to put something together yourself, you could do that. You could go for something clean and simple, do a little bit of research, learn the basics, or you could hire an affordable or less experienced designer from websites. I cringe every time I say the name of these websites. Makes me angry. I don't think this is a good idea, but there are websites like 99designs or Fiverr or you could even look on Craigslist. I don't think you're going to end up with a with either a great design or a good experience, but it's, you know, it's possible. Winston's angry at me. I'm sorry, Winston. Guys, I'm sorry. But I'm going to say that it's not a good idea to do that. Invest in something better or learn how to do it yourself. If you want to invest in a professional designer, check out Dribbble. Also, guys, if someone was looking for... I'm going to ask the chat right now. If someone was looking for someone to design their podcast artwork, in this case, Oliver is. So if you see Oliver in here, go talk to him. But if someone was looking for a really good designer, how would they go about finding one? If they know nothing about design, if they don't know the websites, if they, like, all they know is that there's a print shop down the street that'll do flyers, what would you guys suggest? I'm going to take a pause here and I'm going to edit in some responses. You guys are hating on me for suggesting the suggesting the crappy websites. I don't like those websites. Okay, so everyone, Garrett said, got to call you out, man. You would Google it. What would you Google? Good podcast artwork? That's possible, I guess. Okay, so start off by Googling podcast artwork designer. You might find some good stuff. Check out their work. Corey said, I heard you can get a podcast editor for $5 on Fiverr. You absolutely can. Is he going to be as good as me? Heck no. That's kind of my point. Not a good experience. All right, so all the designers in the Sean West community, it seems like the consensus here is either Behance or Dribbble. Dribbble, find a style that you like on Dribbble and reach out to the designer. If you've never visited Dribbble before, that's Dribble. Three B's, not two. Christopher Bernal says, Aaron, edit that out. Don't give out bad advice. I don't know, man. It's hard to know what to tell someone who really can only afford a couple $100. Are there designers? I guess there might be designers, good designers, great designers on Dribbble that would do a logo and a website design for that. Man, I just get you guys fired up by talking about design. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have Corey on the show to talk about this stuff because I think this is something a lot of people struggle with. A lot of people struggle with. Ooh, Brent Galloway has a great suggestion. Just search podcast on Dribbble. Nice. Alex Castro, he pointed out, he said the community is a rough place to be for people who aren't designers who need designs. All the designers are told to raise their rates and everyone else starts crying. This is hard. It's frustrating. I know how good you guys who do design are. You create some amazing looking and some not just great looking work, but work that really communicates and is so valuable, invaluable. But the great designers charge a lot of money. I couldn't invest 10 grand. I don't even have 10 grand. But I need something. Like, I got to get started. We could talk about this all day long. Okay, Sean McCabe weighed in here. He said, I know people are being facetious. That's a hard word for me. Facetious? But for the record, it's not just that you should charge more arbitrarily, but that you should price on value to the client. So it's not that people can't afford designers. If the value is lower, the price is lower. If the value is so low that it's less than the designer's base costs, then the project is not viable for that designer. It's a great word. All right. So before I go, I just wanted to say this to Oliver. An amateur designer will try to ask you or will ask you what you like, which is the wrong question. The design for your artwork and website needs to communicate something about your show to the audience. It's not just about making something pretty. Okay. That's what I wanted to tell him that. Facetious. Thank you. All right, you guys have an excellent day. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for listening. Thanks for contributing thoughts to the designer conversation. This is fun. I will talk to you again next week. See you in the chat.